Previously we started a discussion regarding the reality of Khidr alayhi salatu wasalam, and when Allah Tabarak Ta'ala mentioned the meeting between him and Musa alayhi salatu wasalam in such an important part of Surah Kahf. Before this, Allah Tabarak Ta'ala had mentioned the people of the cave, how they managed to come out of fitan, they protected themselves. Now in Surah Kahf, Allah Tabarak Ta'ala will explain that the meeting of Khidr alayhi salam and Musa alayhi salam, that Islam, as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, will always be like a bucket. Sometimes kufr will be high, Islam will be low. And there will be times when Islam will be high and kufr will be low. So when kufr is high and Islam is low, then the lessons that Khidr alayhi salatu wa sallam will now impart to Musa alayhi salam, that must be kept in mind. And when Islam goes high, and after this immediately Allah tabarak ta'ala speaks about وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنْ ذِي الْقَرْنِينَ, that if ever the power of Islam is given and people like Zulqarnain are created again, then how the Muslims in those conditions should deal, or the others around them should deal with themselves. As we mentioned, Khidr alayhi salatu wasalam's reality according to us is that he's a person who is still alive in the world, and what he showed in this time, that is continuing and will continue till the ending. And as Allah Tabarak Ta'ala kept Dajjal behind the scenes, this is a man who will be kept behind the scenes. Where materialism, Dajjal represents materialism, and Khidr alayhi salatu wasalam will represent faith, Islam versus Mahdiyat. So when Musa alayhi salatu wasalam met him and he asked him, can I stay in your company? The first thing he explained is that even though you are a Nabi of Allah, but the way Allah tabarak wa ta'ala lets the world work is so far from our understanding that even if the Nabi of the Ummah, he will find it hard to understand. To understand that what we are used to is called a normal system, which is called sabab and result, cause and effect. And Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has another system which goes completely against it. Example we have heard about in Islam, that a person who gives sadaqah, the money is going, sadaqah is being given. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, somehow that money will increase. Although it's completely against the mind, because money is going, so how can it increase? And in interest, where you collect money, it's supposed to increase money. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there it will decrease. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained, if a person goes looking for halal rozi, he will find barakah. Although in halal, it's difficult to get rozi. And if he goes looking for haram rozi, which seems so easy, he will lose all his barakah. And he will be left in problems. Whatever the eye will see, it will be completely opposite. Where a person sees that if I can get any girl I want, my desires will be fulfilled. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said it will be the exact opposite. The man who protects himself, Allah will give him ease of heart. And the man who goes mad, he will commit suicide. He will never find it. Where in freedom you think you will be free, Islam has taught us in freedom you will become captive. And where in captivity you think you will be a captive, Islam taught in captivity you will go free. So everything, the work of Allah tabarak ta'ala is completely against the mind. So Khidr alayhi salatu wasalam said there are certain things which a Nabi of Allah himself can understand. And then there are those things which even a Nabi of Allah can't understand. So when Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and Khidr alayhi salam left, they were by the waterside. Some people came with a boat, they boarded the boat. Hatta idha rakiba fi safinati kharaqaha. The people did not charge Khidr alayhi salam, they knew who he is a good person, pious person, well known. And as they were reaching the place where they had to board off, then he did something in the ship, which ulama have mentioned, it never caused water to also come in the ship, but it caused such a dent that as soon as they were now going to check up on the ship, that is everything right for the next journey, they would notice it is a hole here. So the manner that he did that is not known, but it shows that Allah tabarak ta'ala had blessed him with a high level of technology. That he was able to make a hole in the ship, and he was able to not allow the water to come through, and for that hole to be apparent for others that they will notice it. Musa alayhi salam could not understand wisdom behind this. أَخَرَقْتَهَا لِتُغْرِقَ أَهْلَهَا. He said, are you making a dent in the ship so that the people of the ship may drown? لَقَدْ جِئْتَ شَيْئًا إِمْرًا. You have done a very bad thing. Khidr alayhi salam said, أَلَمْ أَقُلْ إِنَّكَ لَن تَسْتَطِيعَ مَعِيَ صَبْرًا. I told you from before, you'll never manage to live with me. Musa alayhi salam said, لا تُعَاخِذْنِي بِمَا نَسِيتِ. It was a mistake, don't catch me, give me a chance. وَلَا تُرْهِقْنِي مِنْ أَمْرِي عُسْرًا. Don't make life difficult for me also, but if I make a mistake, I forget, then forgive. فَانْطَلَقَا, they continued. حَتَّى إِذَا لَقِيَا غُلَامًا فَقَتَلَا, they came across a very young boy, handsome boy, innocent boy. Khidr alayhi salam called him. He came running. He thought he can do some khidmat. He put him on one side near a bush, and then he strangled him to death. قَالَ أَقَتَلْتَ نَفْسًا زَكِيَّةً بِغَيْرِ نَفْسٍ. This was more amazing than the first. That in killing a boy, how can there ever be any good? You have killed someone for no reason. لَقَدْ جِئْتَ شَيْئًا نُكْرًا. This is not just something bad. This is beyond. This can never be expected from a normal man. Forget you. أَلَمْ أَقُلْ لَكَ إِنَّكَ لَنْ تَسْتَطِيعَ مَعِيَ صَبْرًا. I already told you, you're not going to manage in my madrasa. قَالَ إِنْ سَأَلْتُكَ عَنْ شَيْءٍ. So give me one more chance. Imagine this, and you all think our madrasa is hard. This was a madrasa where you would see things. He said, if I ask you one more time, فَلَا تُصَاحِبْنِي, then you can tell me, get out. I sign my paper to be expelled now. One more time. قَدْ بَلَغْتَ مِنْ لَدُنِّي عُذْرًا. Now you have reached a level that you are regarded as ma'azur, meaning I understand why I can't stay with you, but one more chance. فَانْطَلَقَا حَتَّى إِذَا أَتَيَا أَهْلَ قَرْيَا. When they came to a certain area, they asked for food. إِسْتَطْعَمَا أَهْلَهَا. فَأَبَوْ أَيْ يُطَيِّفُوهُمَا. Food is something cheap. No one will ever say never. But the entire town, not one person was ready to feed. فَوَجَدَا فِيهَا جِدَار يُرِيدُ أَيْ يَنْقَدَّ فَأَقَامَ. Musa a.s. was a Jalali Nabi. He was already upset. They're just for food. People not feeding. And as they left the town, when he was upset, Khidr alayhi salam said, you know this wall of the people of the town is going to fall. Why don't you help me to put it up? قَالَ لَوْ شِئْتَ لَتَّخَذْتَ عَلَيْهِ أَجْرًا. So Musa alayhi salam, being his student, now helped him to put it up. But then he made one more remark. That since they could not give us food for free, why must we do any work for free? We could have at least charged. We have put the wall up so well. Khidr alayhi salam, however, will show in putting up this wall also, he put it up in a manner which up till today, technology I don't think has reached that level. He put it up in a manner that the wall will last for so many years. And in a certain year, at a certain time, the wall must collapse. Normally if a building is put up, I don't think any architect will tell you that this building, we have built it. In Saudi Arabia, if they could find that, they'll be too happy. That for 15 years this building will remain. After 15 years, automatically it will fall. That was a unique sign of his mastery in building. That he never wanted the wall to be up all the time. He never wanted to fall immediately. He needed it to fall at a certain time so the young boys who were going to benefit from the wall falling, it will fall. If he had made it so strong that it never falls, those boys would never have benefited. And if he had left it, it would have fell immediately, they would never have benefited. So he had like a clock there, that the wall will remain for so many years, on a certain time it must fall. قَالَ هَذَا فِرَاقُ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنِي. Then he said to Musa alayhi salam, I gave you three chances, let's separate. And now it is time to separate. سَأُنَبِّئُكَ بِتَأْوِيلِ مَا لَمْ تَسْتَطِعْ عَلَيْهِ صَبْرًا. Now I will explain to you the realities of what you could not understand, or what I did not feel fit to explain to you at the beginning. In this we understand one thing, that there will be many realities that we will die and we will not understand. The day we put in our qabr, if you want to, on that day you can ask Allah Tubarakallah, what was this reality, what was that reality, everything will be open up. But in this world there will be many things that you will never understand. And it is not a thing of Islam that I must understand everything. Three quarters of Islam is based on Iman bil Ghaib. That, oh Allah, I believe in you although you are beyond understanding. I believe in angels although it's beyond understanding. I believe in the commands of Shariat although that's beyond understanding. And that person who says, I want to know the wisdom behind that, then he is trying to climb a ladder which is never climbed with knowing, it is climbed with accepting. That whoever accepts, he climbs very fast. And whoever asks why, then shaitan immediately knocks him, he never starts climbing. If Khidr alayhi salam wanted, as soon as he did the first thing, before doing it, he could have showed Musa alayhi salam, I'm going to do a certain action, don't get shocked. The reason I am doing it is for this. But in this he showed that Allah's system in this world is not that. Allah's system in the world is, you are my servant, I am Allah. I will question you, you cannot question me. How I do it has complete wisdom, but it is not for you to understand. So now, He says, أَمَّا السَّفِينَةُ فَكَانَتْ لِمَسَاكِينَ. There will be a normal lesson that he gives to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, and there will be a lesson that he leaves now for people till the day of Qiyamah. أَمَّا السَّفِينَةُ فَكَانَتْ لِمَسَاكِينَ. He says, this boat, as you saw, it was for young boys. Miskeen means no money. Mufassirin explained they were entire families. And in the family, there were those that were completely helpless. Either they were paralyzed, or they had some mental sickness, they were unable to walk. So certain brothers took it upon themselves to see to other brothers. And this was their only source of income. Allah Ta'ala in this year showed that many a time a madrasa is running. So we obviously, the awam, the local people, the students, they don't pay for their fees. It is people who have to pay for majority of the students. A person wants to go out in the path of Allah. Many a time people have to look after his needs. A boy wants to go study Hadith and Quran. He can't work for himself. People have to sponsor. A man came to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and complained that my brother sits in your company but he eats by me. I must work the whole day and he is just living on my roti. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained a reality which will be shown here. That he said, if only you understood that the help that is coming in your sustenance is because of your brother. That you might think he is eating my food, but actually your food is coming because of him. These boys used to look after their brothers who could not do work. In love of that action, Allah Ta'ala ensured that the Nabi of the time must move with Khidr alayhi salam and go to see to their needs. There was a fear their entire sustenance was going to be taken away now. But because they were looking after their brothers at home, Allah Pak was looking after their rozi. So he says that they are young boys, they are poor, this is the only source of rozi. وَكَانَ وَرَاءَ فَأَرَدْتُ أَنْ أَعِيبَهَا. My desire was to put an aib in the shop. It was not to destroy the shop, it was just to make it look not so nice. وَكَانَ وَرَاءَهُمْ مَلِكٌ. Because just ahead is a certain king, يَأْخُذُ كُلَّ سَفِينَةٍ غَصْبًا. Who at the present moment, whatever ship is coming in front, he is taking it. Mufassirin explained, at that moment the king of the area, who was a zalim himself, he was making jihad, not jihad what you will call, he was fighting against his enemies. And in the fight against the enemy, whatever boats were around, he needed it to be brought into his fleet. So his soldiers were told to go around, and any boat which they could find, which was usable at the present moment, they must immediately confiscate. And if they could find any boat which had any slight fault, which would need repairs, then they never need that at the moment. As these boys were going to continue, or they were going to start fixing the ship, the king's soldiers were going to go past. And they were going to notice the ship, they will notice the boys fixing it, they will say, we haven't got time for this, they will carry on. In making one hole in the ship, he protected the whole ship. What lesson he left for the people till the day of Qiyamah, is that when Islam will be maghloob, at the time when Islam will be weak and kufr will be strong, at that time if Islam has to try and move in a ship that is smart, that is top top, that is up to the times, full of technology, then the king's eyes will fall on that ship and that ship will be taken away. They will never let that ship last. A madrasa which is moving with the times, in which you have technology of the highest level, in which you are making weapons as they are making weapons, in which you have scientists and people who are mastering the sciences like they are mastering, and in which you have people who are talking of high things like they are talking, and in which you have your own systems of propaganda like they got their systems, and we are trying to match them, then that king's eye will immediately fall on that ship. And then that ship will either be destroyed immediately, or that ship will be brought over. Certain money will be given to the people of that ship. The madrasa will remain, but it will remain no longer a madrasa. It will become a government school. It will become run on government funds. The government will say, we'll put our teachers there. It will be a school you can enter and everything will be seen to. You won't have to worry of funds. You won't have to worry about your needs. You don't have to worry about luxury, the best you will have. But because the money is coming from the king, there will be no deen in that shop. At the present moment in Delhi, which was the center of Hazrat Shah Waliullah Rahimullah and then his sons, it was the center of ilm. And because it was the center of Hindustan, when the British attacked India, they destroyed that area first. the area of Delhi. Hazrat Mullah Qasim Nanotwi Rahimullah, he got his ta'aleem from that very area. It was the center of ilm. Years later now, when they realized they cannot fight against the British, so the thought in his mind came to establish a madrasa. At that moment, if any of us were with him, we would have told him the first place is to go to the city, because that's where the money is, that's where the people are, and that's where it's easy for everyone to reach, and make a madrasa which will attract people. And it must be a modern madrasa, because we are moving through a modern time. And you must have the sciences in it, because you have to give answers to the people who are moving with science. It has to be moving with technology. They must know English, they must know the languages of the time, they must know computer sciences, they must know everything. How will they be able to fight? But completely against logic, he decided to go to an area called Dioband, which had nothing, which was far from civilization. There he put up no huge structure. Rather, there was a tree, and he told him, Ustad, under this tree you must start teaching. And then when choosing the syllabus, he chose those kitabs which were the furthest from reality, which were not practical at all for the demands of the time. So even if the eyes of the enemy would fall on that ship of Dioband, even if CIA had to come, they would find that this ship is not only sinking, it already sank. There is no need to worry of the ship. And wherever there were madaris in the world which were moving, Azhar is an example which the world saw. It was on the heights of power. But when the enemy entered, Azhar still remains, but there is no Azhar left. The entire Azhar was bought over. The madrasa remained, funds remained, luxury remained, everything increased, but deen never increased. Everything, the kitabs remained also, but you will hardly find salah there. You will never find a Muslim looking like a Muslim there. The laws on fatawa that then started coming out from Azhar, as though it was coming out from America. So for the ship of Islam to sail in a time when things are difficult, you must look for that ship which looks as though it's sinking. Hazrat Mullah Muhammad Ilyas Rahimullah then had to start the work of tabligh. Allah Tabarakala inspired him, and it was going to be a huge work. Again, the demand was to be that it must be meeting with the times. The effort must be such that it must combat the times. There must be people who can write newspapers against the newspapers, people who can speak against the radios, people who can lecture against the scientists. But in his work of tabligh, he went to the most simple of people who hardly knew kalima la ilaha illallah. And up till today, the work of tabligh is understood as a jamaat that will go, he got a lungi, he got a lota. And if you have to see what books he got, high things on science, technology, how to make weapons, he'll have his fazail-e amal. Up till today, if CIA ever has to bring that thing inside, and they examine it, up till today, they will find it is nothing but a sinking ship. It will never be able to be bought over because it has nothing in it. Which Hazrat Umar Barunpuri Rahimullah explained, that the reality of this work is that we could have done the work of deen either as a mosquito or as a bed bug. We needed to bite the enemy, but there had to be a means to do it. If we chose to be a mosquito, there was a fear that before we even reached the man, just that buzz, and the man would have slapped us and we would have been dead. And if we chose to be a bed bug, it means we would come silently at night and go away silently. And in the morning, the man will realize he's bitten, he will see blood, but he'll never know when it came, when it went. Which Hazrat Muhammad Ilyas Rahimullah, after the work started taking off, one of the sentences he said, that today I have put termites into the building of evil. And a day will come when the entire evil will collapse. And only then it will be realized where the collapse took place from. If the attack had to be from the outside, the king would immediately remove it. So Khidr alayhi salatu wasalam left a lesson, and the ulama have always held on to this lesson, that at a time when Islam is maghloob, then don't make yourself too high. Because once you attract the attention of the king, he's either going to buy you off or he's going to destroy you. وَأَمَّا الْغُلَامُ فَكَانَ أَبَوَاهُ مُؤْمِنَيْنَ Thereafter Khidr alayhi salatu wasalam said, I killed an innocent boy, you also wanted to cry. But that boy, his parents were good people. فَخَشِينَا أَيْ يُرْهِقَهُمَا تُغْيَانًا وَكُفْرًا Allah tabarak ta'ala knows the future of that boy and his family, you will never know it. There was a fear if a young innocent boy was allowed to love, a time would come when he would become on evil and he would make his entire family fall in evil. He would take them to tughyan and kufr, meaning they would go against Allah. فَأَرَدْنَا أَن يُبْدِلَهُمَا رَبُّهُمَا خَيْرًا مِّنْهُ زَكَاتًا وَأَقْرَبَ رُحْمًا. It was Allah tabarak ta'ala's desire that some other child should be given to these people. Ulama have mentioned that the next child that these people were blessed with was a girl. And this girl gave birth to another boy who became a Nabi of the Ummah. And because of him, an entire qawm was blessed. The young boy who was killed, he died nabaligh, so he entered Jannah. His parents were to cry on losing him. They were blessed with another child, they kept their iman, they got Jannah. That girl gave birth to a Nabi, obviously he got Jannah. And an entire qawm got Jannah on the death of one young boy. In this, Khidr alayhi salatu wasalam gave another lesson to the Ummah. That at a time when Islam will be maghloob and kufr will be ghalib, you will see and you will not understand where your hopes will be on certain people in the world. That perhaps with them Allah will see to the revival of Islam. Or you will see certain innocent people in the world who never do anything wrong. And you will see zulm and evil falling upon them, destroying them, raping them, killing them. And everyone will say, oh Allah, why is this? That these are innocent people. They have never done any crime. They have never done any wrong. And people will cry. But in the deaths of those people, Khidr alayhi salatu wasalam showed that Allah Pak has not written the death of Islam. Rather, in the death of those few, Allah has written the revival of Islam. In blood, Allah satiates the ummah. Which Hazrat Mawlana Umar Paranpuri rahimullah explained that for hidayah to spread, it needs blood and it needs tears. For hidayah to spread, it needs blood and it needs tears. And there has never been a time in Islamic history when these two things were not found. In the time when Sahaba radiallahu anhu was strong, they were also crying and blood was also spilling. It never happened, a Sahabi never died. Jihad was carrying on. Wives were crying, people were crying, children were going out, they were not coming back. Fathers were not coming back, children were crying. Tears and blood used to satiate the entire ummah. And then a time, he says, came when the ummah stopped giving from their own side tears and blood. So for hidayah to spread, Allah Pa got a quota that so much of blood must fill up and so much of tears. When the ummah is not ready to give it, Allah starts taking it. And for taking it, Allah tabarak ta'ala makes zalims fall on innocent mazloom people. Ma'soom. America entered Afghanistan at the time where Afghanistan was a couple of Taliban, the most they numbered was about 100, 200, most 1,000. They, three quarter of them, never even knew there's a country called America in existence. They saw these funny things landing. They saw these soldiers jumping. If America at that time had come out and started giving them free literature, started giving them books, started giving them computers and televisions, perhaps the entire Afghanistan would have told America, we are very happy with you, O Taliban, please go away. But Allah tabarak ta'ala made something else happen. That America entered with the need for killing. They massacred, they tortured, they raped. Blood spilled and tears were flying. The tears of the entire ummah, blood of the entire ummah. Over 10 years have passed already. At that time, if America did not kill a single person, Afghanistan today would have been America. But Allah tabarak ta'ala made it that they killed, and in that blood that they spilled, Allah tabarak ta'ala desired that the entire country now stood up. Now there is no Taliban left, now it's Afghanistan. The entire country now hates America. America entered Iraq in a condition that three quarter of the Iraqis were wishing America should come. Had they entered at that time and distributed free literature, Iraq today would have been America also. Allah tabarak ta'ala made it that certain people died, the ummah cried blood spilled. And in that blood spilling and tears crying, at the moment what we are seeing in the world, what we call an Arab uprising, around the world zalims are just falling. America is shivering, Israel is shivering, countries are shivering. So Khidr alayhi salatu wasalam explained to Musa alayhi salam, and he explained to the ummah, That if Allah tabarak ta'ala had perhaps left Iraq without anyone attacking, there was a possibility Iraq themselves would have become murtad. But on the attack of the evil, those people went straight into Jannah. Mujahid, shaheed. Those that gave their life, they were mujahid, they went into Jannah. Those that are coming, they will go into Jannah. And an entire ummah got hidayah because of their blood. So in this year where we will see people dying, and whenever the news will come that so and so has been killed, and many a time our people get sad that they killed this great man. So Khidr alayhi salatu wasalam said, Islam thrives on the blood of great people. The more blood that will be given, the more Islam will rise. And the day blood stops going, and the day you stop seeing so and so has been martyred, so and so has been martyred, then that is the day that Islam becomes madfoon. So in these two lessons, he gave very great lessons. One is, you cannot be tip-top in an era of evil. You rather be a sinking ship, and your ship will be the only ship moving. Any ship that is smart will be taken away. And the second lesson that he gave is, that Islam will thrive with blood of innocent people. Allah tabarak ta'ala will accept the blood, and on their blood Islam won't die. Rather, Islam will become more and more fertile. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله.